Chapter 11, Discord and Din. One by one, the hours passed, and at exactly 5:22, by Tok's very accurate clock, Milo carefully opened one eye, and in a moment, the other. Everything was still purple, dark blue, and black, yet scarcely a minute remained to the long, quiet night. He stretched lazily, rubbed his eyelids, scratched his head, and shivered once as a greeting to the early morning mist. "I must wake Chroma for the sunrise," he said softly. Then he suddenly wondered what it would be like to lead the orchestra and to color the whole world himself. The idea whirled through his thoughts until he quickly decided that since it couldn't be very difficult, and since they probably all knew what to do by themselves anyway, and since it did seem a shame to wake anyone so early, and since it might be his only chance to try, and since the musicians were already poised and ready, he would, but just for a little while. And so, as everyone slept peacefully on, Milo stood on tiptoes, raised his arms slowly in front of him, and made the slightest movement possible with the index finger of his right hand. It was now 5:23 a.m. As if understanding his signal perfectly, a single piccolo played a single note, and off in the east, a solitary shaft of cool lemon light flicked across the sky. Milo smiled happily, and then cautiously crooked his finger again. This time, two more piccolos and a flute joined in, and three more rays of light danced lightly into view. Then, with both hands, he made a great circular sweep in the air and watched with delight as all the musicians began to play at once. The cellos made the hills glow red, and the leaves and grass were tipped with a soft pale green as the violins began their song. Only the bass fiddles rested as the entire orchestra washed the forest in color. Milo was overjoyed because they were all playing for him, and just the way they should. "Won't Chroma be surprised?" he thought, signaling the musicians to stop. "I'll wake him now." But instead of stopping, they continued to play even louder than before, until each color became more brilliant than he thought possible. Milo shielded his eyes with one hand and waved the other desperately, but the colors continued to grow brighter and brighter and brighter until an even more curious thing began to happen. As Milo frantically conducted, the sky changed slowly from blue to tan, and then to a rich magenta red. Flurries of light green snow began to fall, and the leaves on the trees and bushes turned a vivid orange. All the flowers suddenly appeared black. The gray rocks became a lovely soft chartreuse, and even peacefully sleeping Tok changed from brown to a magnificent ultramarine. Nothing was the color it should have been, and yet the more he tried to straighten things out, the worse they became. "I wish I hadn't started," he thought unhappily as a pale blue blackbird flew by. "There doesn't seem to be any way to stop them." He tried very hard to do everything just the way Chroma had done, but nothing worked. The musicians played on faster and faster, and the purple sun raced quickly across the sky. In less than a minute, it had set once more in the west, and then, without any pause, risen again in the east. The sky was now quite yellow, and the grass a charming shade of lavender. Seven times the sun rose and almost as quickly disappeared as the colors kept changing. In just a few minutes, a whole week had gone by. At last, the exhausted Milo, afraid to call for help and on the verge of tears, dropped his hands to his sides. The orchestra stopped. The colors disappeared, and once again, it was night. The time was 5:27 a.m. "Wake up, everybody! Time for the sunrise!" he shouted with relief, and quickly jumped from the music stand.
"What a marvelous rest," said Chroma, striding to the podium. "I feel as though I had slept for a week. Am I? I see we're a little late this morning. I'll have to cut my lunch hour short by 4 minutes."
He tapped for attention, and this time the dawn proceeded perfectly.
"You did a fine job," he said, patting Milo on the head. "Some day I'll let you conduct the orchestra yourself."
Tok wagged his tail proudly,
But Milo didn't say a word, and to this day, no one knows of the lost week but the few people who happened to be awake at 5:23 on that very strange morning.
"We'd better be getting along,"
said Tok, whose alarm had begun to ring again.
"Well, there's still a long way to go."
Chroma nodded a fond goodbye as they all started back through the forest, and in honor of the visit, he made all the wildflowers bloom in a breathtaking display. "I'm sorry you can't stay longer," said Alec sadly. "There's so much more to see in the Forest of Sight. But I suppose there's a lot to see everywhere, if only you keep your eyes open." They walked for a while, all silent in their thoughts, until they reached the car, and Alec drew a fine telescope from his shirt and handed it to Milo. "Carry this with you on your journey," he said softly, "for there is much worth noticing that often escapes the eye. Through it, you can see everything from the tender moss in a sidewalk crack to the glow of the farthest star. And most important of all, you can see things as they really are, not just as they seem to be. It's my gift to you." Milo placed the telescope carefully in the glove compartment and reached up to shake Alec by the hand. Then he stepped on the starter and, with his head full of strange new thoughts, drove out the far end of the forest.